All right, Scout Florida fans, we're back for another week here with Scout Florida Radio Show, the best local radio show in the business. What's going on? You're here with your co-host, Kelsey Dudley, and also your co-host, Tony Sands. What's up, Tony?
What's happening, man? We're having fun again. We're back talking to our fans and enjoying the people and letting the people know what's going on in their local sports world.
Okay, South Florida, we're back with you with all the info and with some very good news this week, some maybe hot seat news, if we can call it that, and then also some of these matchups in the playoffs and what's going on with some of these teams. The playoffs is really taking a nice matchup here where we have a lot of good teams that are facing off this week, plus we have some rematches that I think me and Tony talked about last week. That is kind of starting to play out that way. So I'm ready. I'm ready.
I'm ready, too, because I told you when this thing got started way back in September and October, there will be some matchups that will be rematchups, and there will be some matchups that will be dominant matchups, and there will be some matchups that will be upset matchups. But I made myself clear during that time, and it seems like I rolled a strike. When I call certain games.
You only roll one strike. You only roll one strike. We went one different.
I really wasn't talking about that game. I was talking about a couple other games that I predicted and called. But since you are talking about that game, then Lee we might as
Central,
well bring it. You brought it up.
Lee Central,
I wasn't going to bring it up.
Cardinal Gibbons.
I was going to keep my mouth shut, but you brought it up. I told you, you can't take. It ain't too many teams that you can take over to Glade Central and come out with a victory. And there's been some great teams out of Broward to go over there and come out of there without a win. And you're saying you're going to take a Cardinal Gibbons team over to the Muck, and you really expect them to leave out of there with a victory? I don't know what you were thinking. I think you thought more with your heart than your mind. When you're picking games, you must go with your mind and not your heart, because your heart tend to lead you sometime astray due to the fact that we think too deep and we feel too hard for certain teams here in Broward.
It was an upset special. It was an upset special.
You can't call that upset when you got a 10-1
upset last. But and the upset that came about really was not the one that we actually thought. We both picked against that one, but. I thought that one would be the upset for me in that case, but it turned out it wasn't.
I mean, but what I'm saying, I think Cardinal Gibbons' record, Cardinal Gibbons lost to American Heritage. They lost to, I think it was University School.
Right.
And then was it Miami Pace they lost to?
Yeah, Miami Pace.
Okay, now, and I think they might have lost 4, if I'm not mistaken. If I stand corrected if I am, but I think they lost 4. But you take a 10-1 Glade Central with that kind of speed. I knew that Cardinal Gibbons wouldn't be able to match up speed wise, and plus they had all the decks stacked up against them because they had to take that ride over there and face that. Once you pull into that area, you're already in hostile territory. You know it. They know it. They know they're going to intimidate you. The band's going to come out playing. Cardinal Gibbons is probably only used to that one time, and that's when they play Evie. They're not used to that type of hostile environment to where everybody in the town, shops, beauty salons, police stations, everything closed down and everybody's at that game. They're not used to that at all. And I knew that pressure would get to them.
Right. And they may have gotten a little frazzled, or a lot frazzled. By the atmosphere over there at Glades, and that was probably the one that did them in. Them not being able to cope with the environment and everything over there, the atmosphere. So, yeah, that was my bad one for last week.
Okay, I mean, I wasn't going to talk about that game.
But I'm going to bounce back.
When I stated my statement, I stated, I really wasn't talking about that game, but I know you felt guilty in that. That's why you brought that up. I was really talking about the Northwestern and the Miami Central game. I walked that game through. That was another game you kind of predicted badly in earlier in the season with Columbus.
Right.
And it came to be that we would have this rematch, because I stated that several times, that we would have this rematch again, and we haven't. Now, the weird thing about this, and this is probably the most one-time thing I've never heard of when it comes to high school football, there will be no tickets sold at the game. None.
So they have to pick their tickets up at – where are they picking their tickets up?
They had to pick them up either from the West or from Central. There wouldn't be no tickets sold at the game. They're predicting over 10,000 at this game, and I think it's gonna break down, because this, to me, is the best matchup when we look at November 26th matchups all across the state. It is the best matchup that you could get.
Right. It will be the best matchup. The house will be rocking. You have, speed all over the field, athletes all over the field, the crowds, the bands, just the communities going back and forth.
We've been in that excitement before. And it's crazy.
It's going to be crazy. And now it's in the heart of Miami, whereas the game before was a little bit on the outskirts of Miami. Now it's back in the central part of Miami.
And we got to get there early, because I know what that parking and all that kind of stuff, it's going to be tough to find a parking spot, because I talked to some people already out of that Dade County area that live in there, and they're saying already that they're getting there about 5:30, 6 o'clock for a 7:30 kickoff game. So you know if people are saying that, guess what? You got to be in there early, or you're going to be parking so far that you're going to say, you know what, I might as well stay home and hopefully I can put an intercom and hear the loudspeakers going, because I'm going to tell you, it won't be a parking space in Dade County that you can find around that stadium.
Yeah, that that game's going to be held at Trash Pal Stadium in Miami, in the heart of Miami, fans, and you need to get there early, get there set up. I'm pretty sure, these fans are going to be tailgating. They'll be cooking out in the parking lot. They'll be jamming the latest music. They'll be getting down. Trunks will be open, just hanging out, just having a good time and wearing their paraphernalia and probably talking junk to each other. This will be the premier game in
You win this, you win state. You win this game. Miami Central win this game. You might as well crown, because I always say, and I'm saying it now, this is the state championship matchup to me.
On that level.
This is the state championship game. This will be the best game. The state championship game won't even be better than this. If you get to this game, you have seen the state champions play. If you were able to make it to this game, you will get a chance to see the number one team in the state of Florida in the 6A class at its best. Because like I told you, best thing about it, guess what? It's Thanksgiving Day weekend. There is no school that Friday. A lot of people are not working that Friday. So you know it's going
to
be exciting.
You got plenty of time to do what?
Oh, man. Party and enjoy a festival of a turnout when it comes to tailgating. It's going to probably remind you of the biggest tailgate party at the college level, and that's Florida Georgia game. So it's going to be one of those type of tailgating events.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be huge, from the bands to the oh man, I just can't wait. That game will live up to its billing. It's tough for me to break that game down. All I can say is that two Titans are getting ready to clash, and when the smoke clears, one of them is going to walk out. And I can't. I mean, with the matchups, they're so close.
I gotta go
with the way they played last time. I mean, you have to give it to Central, of course. You have to give
it
to
Central. The reason why I say I'm going to give it to Central, and this is why I say that, for the simple fact is that Northwestern still haven't established to me that they have an effective running game. They had a running game in the Columbus game, okay? But you ain't going to be able to use Eli Rogers as your running back this week, because now you put him at running back, I can corral him, I can keep control of him. You take him off you out at the receiver area, and you're in trouble. You're gonna need the big play.
Right.
Because that's what kept him in the game the last time, is those big plays, him dinking in and dunking and out to Eli Rogers and a couple of receivers. And like I say, they're not going to be able to put this kid at running back and think that they can even fare out well against Miami Central. It's not going
to
happen.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if that's one of the ways that they'll try to show a different look to Central, in that Central has not seen that look, where they may not stay with him at running back, but maybe rotate him from the running back position to the receiver position and move him around a lot more to give Central more looks. That would be more of a game plan for Central to worry about than as opposed to moving him back out to the slot. But again, that was something that brought them back in that game and
okay.
kept them alive. So, I mean, they that's something they have to think about
okay, now
in that
you,
particular situation.
But if you put him at running back,
uh-huh.
okay, if you put him at running back, does that hurt you? Does that hurt you on that play? Okay, now I know you're at running back. I bring some guys in the box. I can man up my outside, and that has limited you. First, if you put him out there, now you put him out at the receiver spot. I go cover two with somebody skying him on
right.
the, over the top. It's better that way than I think you put him in the box to where I can corral that box. I don't think they got enough. I think they got some decent receivers. I don't think they got enough strong enough receivers to where they can say, okay, we can put him in. That was able to happen, I think, against Columbus
uh-huh.
because I think, you know, it was a better matchup speed-wise. I think they had a little bit better speed than Columbus, but I don't think that's going to match up and help them when it comes to this Central game. I don't see it happening.
But and something that they'll have to be aware of and looking at, which from an offensive perspective would be something – that you would want to walk into the game with in your black bag, is that I have a way to control that defense not getting all the way into their drops. And if you can create a hesitation in that defense, whether you say they can, if Eli Rogers is in the backfield now, where you can create play action to him, and those backers are now being controlled off of that play action, where you let one of the best quarterbacks in the county now are able to go on movement, roll out, then it may create some, you know, it's going to be some one-on-one matchups there that now, okay, you got a 50-50 chance of winning as opposed to you having those safeties back and then, you know,
but,
throwing against more of a zone look.
But ask yourself, have you showed that hand too early?
Because
you had to show that hand against Columbus. I think that would have helped them if they could have saved that and brought that as their trump card in this game,
right,
to probably
right.
throw him off. But I'm quite sure Coach Lockett have seen it, have studied this film, probably visualized it after, because they had even a whole another day to develop their game plan, because Northwestern them played on Thursday.
Uh-huh.
So that gives me, once I see that game's over, I'm at that game scouting for my luxury. I'm able to start my game planning, getting ready.
Oh yeah, it gives you advantage both ways. It just depends on how Northwestern is going to use it, and they'll have to try to use it to their advantage. Of course, Central has seen it, but then it's one thing for you to see something and then be able to stop it. Can you draw up a good game plan against it? So it's going to be crucial to see how these teams kind of play that cat and mouse game back and forth. But like we said, it's hard to beat a team twice. So. You have that factor out there, and then the whole factor of, you know, them changing a little bit of their scheme. And
You beat me in the last 2 years. When it happened, these guys have played this offset. You beat me in the regular season.
Right.
I beat you in the playoffs.
Right.
So now if this going to play out in that manner, then way history has showed, that means you're saying that Northwestern can possibly win this if you're going off that. But I think that goes out the window in this one.
Right. I
think that's where that stole.
Yeah.
That died last year.
That's
it,
what history's pattern has shown between these two teams. But yeah, I'm going with Central in this one. I'm going with Central. I think that they will find a way, even if things don't go their way early. I think they will find a way to come out victorious in this game. But it will be close.
I see this as probably being a game of about 3-point matchup. And I give the kicking game more to Miami Central, and I think that's where they win this game at. with the kicking game. With that little kicker they have down there, when he's on, buddy, you look out.
and we want to break to some just information, a hot seat things going on out there, some local news as far as the sports world goes out there with our high schools and some of our programs. First, our Deerfield Beach program, Deerfield Beach Bucks.
Wow.
They're having some rumblings down there. There's been some changes. What is going on in Deerfield Beach?
It's been a year long of disappointment with alumni and with fans in the Deerfield Beach area. Now, you got to look at this program, okay? And this is why I think they got so in an uproar so early. This is the only program within the last 10 years that have beaten St. Thomas and have beaten Miami North, came close to beating a Miami Northwestern team when they're at their national prominence. You take all that and you gel it together. You got a recipe of disaster if you come in there and you're not able to win. And that's what happened. When you go into a season and you win you only win the last game and then you win a three-way tie game, and you go into the playoffs, he would have had to win the state in order to keep his job, because there was rumbling early about that job. I mean, there was meeting. I think there was meeting after the sixth game. Parents were meeting, and they wanted answers. How do you take one team that go from so much prominence, and all of a sudden it drops to pretty much barely winning games?
Bad decisions.
I mean, yeah, they got to look at themselves. Somebody's got to answer for the decision making that was made, because I heard there was a lot of quality coaches that wanted this job because
that were overlooked.
It's a premier job here in Broward County now. Don't let nobody fool you. They have, and you got to figure this is the same program that Shoelace came from, Denard Robinson up at Michigan. So when these guys left this program, they left this program on the straight. One thing about those kids in the Deerfield area, you never had to worry about them going outside their community, going to other schools.
Uh-huh.
Now you have seen the change of the guard. Seen the change of the guard. You see the young fellow that's down at St. Thomas. That's never happened to where they were so loyal to the Deerfield Beach program. And the day that Rakovic came in there, they lost their number one prize recruit to St. Thomas.
Uh-huh.
And I think they had to make this decision early, because if they would have waited later, I think it would have hurt them even further. It would have set the program back even further, because I think those kids, and I think they knew it,
right,
that those kids would start getting up out of there in December, starting to make their mind up once the semester ends,
right,
that, hey, I ain't going elsewhere to play this game, because I can't stand being a loser. Because you got to figure those guys were freshmen, and they understood what winning felt like.
Right.
They understood what winning felt like. So here we are. You understand what winning feel like. You think you're a team that, hey, we can compete when we go to St. Thomas. St. Thomas know they had a fight, and all of a sudden you go to St. Thomas this year, and it gets out of hand. And I only see 25 people in the stands. I was talking to some of the St. Thomas administrators, and they were saying, we have never seen it like this. Anytime we played Deerfield, we knew it was going to be a battle. We knew it would be a pack house. You look over to the Deerfield Beach sideline, and you barely see 25 people in the stands. That is unheard of when you talk about that program. I'm shocked that it even had dropped that low. I think when you talk about schools here in Broward County, they knew that they were going to win their district and that they were going to go into the playoffs. They was hoping and wishing and praying. And going to the playoffs, to me, I still say I said it 2 weeks ago. To go into the playoffs at 2-9 is embarrassing to me.
Yes.
It's embarrassing to the alignment of the districts. And I think that's what made them do the shakeup and say, hey, we got to realign this thing, because this is embarrassing to us, the kind of play football that we play here in Broward County.
Well, they'll realign it. They'll realign it definitely this offseason. But for that program, that's definitely a major hit. They're making a change right now. Does buy those players a little bit of time there to figure out what's going to go on and what's going to happen. But they will be thinking, okay,
you stand by time.
Or do
you stand by time? Time is of the essence for this program.
Oh yeah.
You can't wait. And I think I was reading in the newspaper today. The athletic director talking about he's probably going to wait till about January.
You make
that decision in January and it costs you in December. Because now parents and kids are saying, you know what? I don't look like they got this thing together. I think the quicker you make this decision, the better you show the parents. The more confidence you let the parents know, hey, our goal is to get this program back. And we're going to make this decision. We're going to bring a quality guy in here that can get this program going back in a direction that we want it to go.
Back to where they need it. And that kind of segues us into, we have on the line with us Coach Williams from Deerfield Beach High School to give us some background information on Deerfield Beach. So
you said Deerfield Beach High School. You mean as an alum or as a, because he's coaching. This is not, come on now.
Is he? Coach Williams.
At Dillon High School right now.
Are you a Deerfield Beach alum?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Deerfield Beach alumni, 1986.
86.
Okay. So we have you on the line here. Just give us a little information, background on the Deerfield program and its originality.
First, Coach, before you answer that, let's give us some background history on you. Give us some background history on the way you have coached and where you coach and how strong your defensive skills have got you to where you have rise you to one of the top assistants here in the area.
Well, I'm from Deerfield Beach. Graduated from Deerfield High, went on to Bethune-Cookman College, where I played for Larry Little. Then I come back and I got into the coaching ranks, and I actually coached at Deerfield for 9 years. First year went to the state semifinals, and my last year there we went to the state semifinals. And I can tell you a background about Deerfield High. When I was there, my freshman, sophomore year, I think we lost a combined of maybe 3 games.
Wow.
So, you know, the tradition has always been there.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, when I got into coaching, I started at Deerfield Beach, and then I went on to Dillard for 2 years. Then I went to Monarch High School for 4 years. To Piper for 2 years, and I'm back at Dillard High School right now.
Now, Coach, I hear you stated a couple of different programs. When I look at the statistics over the past at these programs, one statistic stands out, and that is your deepest of winning, how you have ranked in the county when it comes toward the end of the season, how your defense are ranked up there at the top. Each and every year at each one of these programs is unbelievable. I was looking over that history, and I said, you know what? This is unbelievable.
Yeah, well, I was fortunate at each place that I went to have kids to buy into the system. You know, once you do that, that's like the major hurdle. Everybody do their assignments, and, you know, everything will be okay. And I think I really grew up as a coach at Monarch High School where the talent wasn't great. A brand new school, but it gave me a chance to really learn the art of coaching.
And in those games, Coach, one thing I can say in that district, at that time the district was between, it was Dillard, Ely, Coconut Creek, Monarch, Northeast, and at that time Rakovic was coaching at Northeast. Great talent, a lot of talent there. And you got to figure, in the 3 games, I think, that your team lost, Monarch lost, I think it was only a difference of, I would say, 6 points when you talk about you're going to Dillard, lose by 1 point on the last play of the game. Team wasn't as talented.
Never forget that.
You know, and another thing, you go to Ely with a Patrick Peterson, and you lose only by 2 points. People got to understand how you put defenses together in order to go into these places and make a team that had less compete with a team that had a lot.
Well, you know, like I say, you get the kids to buy into the system, and the kids also buy into your personality. If I'm going into the week where I know we can shut a team down, I'm going to show the kids. And they're going to see from my energy. You know, they play off of my energy. And I'm a high-energy guy. And like I said, I've just been fortunate to have some kids that pay attention and do what they're told. And along with good off-season programs, implementing the defense, making sure the kids know what we're trying to get accomplished.
And my hats have been off to you, Coach. When I thought about this, I say it when you look at, here's one of the hottest, deepest assistants in the game. Not only that, I look at so many positives that it would do for a program like Deerfield Beach. You live in the community, you coach at the school, your passion and your love is for the school because you're a graduate of the school. The parents in the community know you very well. Coach, those are the kind of fits I think that must gel together when you're talking about a rebuilding process, because it's going to be a rebuilding process when we talk about that. If they get the wrong guy in there, they're going to go into rebuilding. I think if they get the right guy in there, Coach, I think the rebuilding process won't be that long because the parents can trust who they got. And that's going to be key. I always said that'll be key to this transition because they went through a transition that they're not used to. I haven't been used to in a while.
Right. That's definitely true. Like you said in the paper today, that you look at the program hadn't had many losing seasons.
40 years.
And, you know, if you look at the last 3-4 years, they've really been on a good run. And, you know, in 1 year, you know, you look around and you're 0-8.
Yeah, that's to me, with that type of talent, somebody, like I said, I knew some heads would turn at the end of this, and I knew it would be something quick. I was just talking about it on Friday. I say, after this playoff game is over, they got to make a decision, and they got to make it fast because throughout everybody's rumbling and that, there's might be a coaching change, a change of the guards there. And I knew it'd be something that's got to happen fast, Coach. I don't want to put you too much in an odd situation, so I just wanted to bring you on and let people know who you were, but, you know, keep away from some of the key questions I asked. That'll be something we'll get into asking you later on down the line. But I just wanted to get you, let people know that, hey, the quality guys that are out for this job, and there will be a lot of guys that will be looking to win this job.
That's definitely correct. It's a high-profile job. You can really, and I think it's for a person who wants to go in and build the program. It's a place that you can build a program at. And you look at the Bear Glades and the Pahokies, you know, their programs are built and they go on from year to year. That's the type of place Deerfield is, and that, you know, that's the type of place Deerfield can be.
And Coach Williams, before we let you go, here with Coach Williams on the Scout Florida Show, this is Kelsey Dudley. Coach Williams, before we let you go, do you feel that it will be in the best interest of the program to get someone in position there quickly, or do you feel that they should take their time and just make sure that they get the right person this time?
Oh, well, you definitely want to get the right person in, but, you know, you want to kind of speed up the process because, you know, while you're out looking, other programs are lurking. You know, not to mention any names, but, you know.
They're like, hey, like they said, it's like, I'm telling you, there's some turkey vultures out here in the game, and one thing about turkey vultures, they soar over with a wide wingspan, and they look to lurk for your players. So I'm telling you, that's why I told you, this has got to be something that's got to be done swift, I think. Swift and smart, because they've made a mistake already.
Agree.
It's got to be swift and smart. You can't underestimate the timing of this. That's why they did it fast. They knew they had to.
That's correct. You know, and you know, from the 2-8, you're going to have those vultures, you know, teams that are winning now, that are, you know, going at certain players or whatever. But if they can get someone in place now and start implementing, and hopefully someone from the community, that would be even better. But
yeah,
hey,
you're right.
We're going to sit back and see.
All right, Coach. Hey.
Okay, thanks for joining us, Coach Williams. We appreciate it.
Thank you, gentlemen.
No problem.
All right. And And for that program, hopefully they will get somebody in place there very quickly and get that all straightened out, because that's a team that needs to be in the playoff matchups and a lot of things that we'll talk about, because that's a big program.
Yeah, because I'm gonna tell you some of the other names that I'm hearing about that job, because that's why it is a high profile job. I'm hearing, as far as when you talk about head coaching experience, I'm hearing guys like Keith Franklin is applying for this job. He was at Dillard 2 years ago. He's applying for the job. We're hearing that possibly Coach Jackson over at Cooper's at Coconut Creek. Coach is a high profile job that a lot of people would love to have. They got a great booster cup that backs their guys. But you got to win there. You got to win there, and you got to win. You got to win. They want winners. And like you said, I'm telling you, it's going to have to be the key person. I think a guy that's in the community is going to have to be the one that rallied this community behind that program. That's the way I see this is going. They're not going to want to go off somebody that they really don't have a good clue on. It's going to be somebody that's got to win there and got to know the parents, got to know the kids, got to go know the community, and they got to know the school. You got to have those things to try to rebuild that program.
Yeah, I mean, that would be very important for that Deerfield Beach program. To move into some of the matchups that we have also locally, one of the key matchups here in Broward faces the Miramar High School Patriots against the Northeast High Hurricanes. And right now with us, we have Coach Bennett from the Northeast Hurricanes on the line, head coach for Northeast Hurricanes. Coach Bennett, how you doing?
I'm really good. How about yourself?
Doing great. Glad to have you on. Now, you have a big-time matchup here coming up, Coach. You've been moving here along at a successful rate. You got hot at the midpoint of the season, and you've been on a heck of a win streak here as of mid-season, and you've advanced, conquering some hurdles. You've advanced to the second round, and you've been progressing, Coach, each year. So we're at the second round now, Coach. How does it look in this matchup? You're going back over to Miramar High School over there in that hole for the second year. How does it look?
Well, you know, it looks good. It looks very promising. The guys are really working hard, preparing themselves, and we'll be ready.
Okay, and Miramar, you know, they're coming off a big victory last week, and I know you have you have the players pretty much getting ready, focusing on some crucial things. What are some of the things that you're telling the guys to kind of keep them focused this time around so that they can go in there and pretty much come out with a victory?
Well, you know, it's the obvious thing. You know, we have to focus on the details. We got to be good special teams. We got to not turn the ball over. And we got to play physical, fast and furious football for four quarters. If we do those things and we make sure that we take care of the things that we can control, you know, I think we'll be coming out on the winning end of this thing.
Okay, and Coach, I know, and we've spoke, Coach, about this in numerous of times. You have a star receiver there on your team that has been doing very well for you, and big play receiver that you look to for big plays in big games. And I'm talking about Stacy Coley, your sophomore receiver there. What do you anticipate his role will be in this game coming up? Do you look for big plays from that guy in this upcoming game?
Well, we look for big plays out of all our guys offensively. We have a part of our offense. We talk about a lot getting yardage in chunks, big chunks of yards, 25 or more yards. And we've had several of them, and we got, along with Stacy, we got a lot of big playmakers on that offense. But Stacy's doing a tremendous job of growing into his role. He's a young guy, has a lot of talent, and, you know, he just has to continue to work hard, to be disciplined, so that his craft of being a great wide receiver, he continues to grow at it on a daily basis.
Now, Coach, this is Tony Sands here with Scout Florida. And what I'm telling you, I hear, you know, we talk about the receiver that you got to have. He's a great receiver. But now they have a DB over there, Coach. And I got a chance to scout this guy. His name is Tracy Howard, Coach. one of the probably one of the one in that top five corners here in South Florida. You don't think that they're going to say, you know what? Well, man, our best guy up against their best receiver, our best DB against their best receiver. And I'm going to tell you, Coach, if you ever got a chance to watch him on film, question you have, Coach, he's a beast when it comes to that. This kid carries handcuffs around all practice. And I asked him, I said, why you carry these handcuffs? He said, because I lock down receivers. And I put him in these handcuffs. So I'm telling you, when you talk about this, that's going to be a key matchup that everybody going to want to get out to see. Here you is, a young receiver that's promising, playing up against a DB that's exceptional when it comes to man coverage. That's going to be something special to get out and see.
Definitely, man. They have a tremendous team all around. Of course, they got the experience. They've been in this situation before, and they got great athletes on their team. And also, the coaches does a tremendous job of coaching those guys up. You know, we're aware of that being the situation. We do have some contingency plans on if they try to do something of that sort. And then, like I say, we do have other guys around Stacy that can get it done. And that's what enables the success. You know, there's a lot of guys that can get it done on any given play. So, you know, we're just going in preparing ourselves for whatever they throw at us and make sure that we be able to capitalize on any and everything.
Yeah, Coach, it's like I said, I'm delighted to have you on. I'm so glad with the success that you have had this year. And I got word earlier today that you are one of the nominees for the QAM 560 Michael Irvin Show Coach of the Year. It was a host of coaches that is in this nomination. And being that you can't vote for yourself.
Hip, hip, hooray.
You can't vote for yourself. You're talking about guys like Telly Lockett at Northwestern. You're talking about guys like Art Taylor at Cooper City. You're talking about Roger Harrod over at University. I think it was Northwestern coach Columbus.
Columbus High.
Chris Myrtle. So if you had opportunity, you can't vote for yourself because you're one of the nominees. Out of that group, who would you vote for, Coach, as that you would see that has done a great job with their program?
I think Coach over at University School has done a tremendous job. I mean, you know, year in and year out, you know, you hear about the great things that he's doing over there, and then when you have an opportunity to watch him play either on film or in person, you do see some glaring things on the film that he's definitely doing a good job with those kids over there. So I would definitely have to give him my vote if I had to.
Okay, all right. Cool.
And congratulations on your nomination there, Coach. With the game coming up, we have, this year the two teams are evenly matched. Miramar's 8-3, Northeast is 8-3. Coach, if you could, give us the three keys to coming out victorious in this game. What do you feel that the three keys are that will lead you to a victory in this matchup?
The most important thing I feel is special teams. We gave up some big plays on special teams last year, and we really worked hard on special teams this year. So I think that's going to be one of the biggest keys. The second thing is ball security. Their defense does a tremendous job of taking the ball away via fumbles or interceptions. And the third thing, I think, is intensity. We have to be as intense as we've ever been on both sides of the ball, including the special teams. And we're going to have to do it for four quarters and possibly five. So we're preparing for that.
Okay. I hear you. Hey, now, Coach, before we let you go, we enjoy having you on. Thanks for coming on. Hey, tomorrow's Thanksgiving. Coach, go ahead and enjoy Thanksgiving with the family. It's all right. You can just step away from the coaches' meetings for just a second to enjoy Thanksgiving, Coach, before you get back to it, all right?
Well, I'm going to try, man. I'm gonna try to get me one or two pieces of turkey and a couple of spoons of dressing. And it's going to be back to the grindstone, bro.
One or two, Coach? It's all right. You go get three or four. It's all right.
Coach, I know it's tough to eat when you know the next day you got to play. And you got to win. You want this win. So I know that's kind of tough. It puts a damper kind of on this Thanksgiving thing for you.
Well, not really, man. We, you know, we ask for this, and this is what I tell the kids, you know, be careful what you ask for, you just might get it. You know, we set this as one of our goals early on, and we've asked to be in this situation, and it's here. So we have to be thankful for that. That's one of our Thanksgiving things that we have to push up, because we're now in a situation where we have an opportunity to achieve some goals that we set out to do this summer, and we got to take advantage of it.
All right. Well, Coach, good, great having you on. Thanks for coming on, and let all the kids know that Scout Florida will be watching the game on Friday, so we'll be keeping up with it. All right.
All right, bro. Thank you guys for having me, man. I really enjoyed it.
All right, thank you, Coach.
All right.
And Tony, that's one of the key matchups in Broward. We also have another key matchup in Broward, which is also a rematch. But a rematch from this season. Not only the Central game in Dade, but we have Boyd Anderson and Ely High School going at it again.
This matchup is key for several reasons. For the simple fact is that when you talk about all the things that was surrounding this game
in the beginning, the first matchup,
it's a lot of things. I'm gonna walk you listeners to this. It was rumor has it. Rumors went out that some of the players from BA, the week when they played, mailed trash bags to the players of Ely High School.
Wow.
Mailed trash bags. And the message behind the mailing of the trash bag is that Ely was trash and they needed to get in the bags.
Uh-huh.
We play this game. We match up all week. Now, this is my fuel to my fire in a game, in a week's practice. I'm going to show them, cats, that we are not trash. We're going to show them who belongs in the bags.
Uh-huh.
They meet up. They're playing, battling out on the field. This thing is a gladiator-type matchup. I mean, you got some hard hit going on. Game over, Ely wins.
Uh-huh.
Ely players walks over to Boyd Anderson's sideline, takes the trash bags out of their pants. Now, you know these kids play with a passion. If you played with a trash bag in your hands, you played, you couldn't wait. You knew you had to win in order to fulfill the prophecy that you set forth. Because you said, I know they said, once we win this, we're going to take those trash bags and we're going to throw them in their face. And I'd be darned.
That's what happened.
And now, me as a guy on Boyd Anderson's side, I see you disrespecting my coach. You throw a trash bag in his face, a trash bag. Yeah, we sent you.
Uh-huh.
Now we come to protect our own.
Right.
And that led to a lot of things.
To the clearing of the bench.
Yeah, man. And not only that, it got so deep to where the Fort Lauderdale PD had to get involved to control this situation. So now, here we go again. We meeting up. You don't think that tension is still rising.
Part two
of this battle.
It's still rising. It's still rising. And with that, what do we know now about this game setting up as far as the PD goes?
Is the security has been beefed up for this game. Edith's kind of mad. They said Edith's pissed off because guess what? They got to provide, the security's got to come out of their budget.
Wow.
Security's got to come out of Ely budget here.
Because they're the home team.
Exactly. Even though it's playing it at Lockhart, a neutral site.
Uh-huh.
And I say that, when I say neutral site, that's more to the advantage to me of Boyd Anderson.
Right, because it's closer.
And they're used to playing at Lockhart,
right.
I think, a little more than Ely is. And that's coming out of their budget. So I'm going to be pissed now. Do I tell my kids this as fuel to the fire during the week? To get you guys ready, to get you guys prepared for this. Because BA wants this. They want this bad. They want their revenge back to let you know when it counts, baby, we win the game. When it counts.
What do you think? Do you tell your players in that situation?
Heck yeah, I use that as fuel.
Well,
heck yeah.
They know it then. It was bulletin board material early last week, if any.
And I'm quite sure there's been some rumbles, you know, and I'm hearing this stuff. At the Little League Super Bowl, they're talking about it Saturday. So
you know it's been on the bulletin board. Huh?
Yeah, man, this is going down. Too bad. The only thing bad about it, they playing it on the same night that Scott Florida will be down in Miami Central. Now, we got some field officers on the ground at this game that will be giving us updates at this game.
Of course, so we'll still be getting our updates. We'll still be getting our updates on it, but that's going to be a rock'em sock'em, I mean, just a drag-out brawl.
Wow.
In Lockhart. Just because of all of that went on.
I'm telling you, this is going to start in the pregame warm-up.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That's what I was just going to say. It will be standing at midfield. They may have to.
If you pass about 95.
Right.
And you look to the right as you're heading south, you'll probably be seeing steam come off the moon. Because it's going to be just that heated.
They're probably going to have to make those teams go out and do warm-ups at separate times. I don't think
before the game,
they'll be able to be on the same field and come near each other at the 50-yard line.
I guarantee you the coin toss is already flipped.
Probably. PD standing at the midfield splitting.
If it's anything like Auburn and Alabama, they got the police in the end zone, because it reminds me of when Auburn Alabama played about, I think, 2 years ago when the kid scored a touchdown and he went to celebrate and the dog bit at his finger. That's just how intense that Auburn and Alabama game is, and that's why this one here is building up just like that.
Yeah, that one definitely there is going to be something to watch. So, fans, if you're trying to get out to something and you're unable to make it to Miami Central and Northwestern down at Trash Pal Stadium, you can skip on over to Lockhart Stadium and catch a premier game in BA and Ely, where that will be for the rights to move on to the third round here. And those teams will be looking to go move up north. So that will be a key game. So if you're in the area, go and check that out. Again, that's on Friday night at Lockhart Stadium. Scout Florida will be at Miami Central and Northwestern game. We're going to go and take a short break here. Once we come back from break, we'll get into a couple more matchups. And then we have some high school kids that think they pretty much have committed to some places or have a good feel for where they're going to go.
I mean, you got some kids that's already on the move, taking official visits and things of that nature. So
right.
We'll get into a little bit of the recruiting here in the local area and some of the decisions that's being made by these young men where they want to spend their future. And not only that, before the show ends, I got to get into one thing that I got to say. And he's shaking his head because I think he know what it already is.
I don't have a clue of what you're talking about.
The words are spelled out. H-E-A-T. But we're going to come back with that later after the break, though. We're going to come back with that after the break. I know you want to get it.
You just wanted to spell it out before we went to break.
I just want to leave the audience with something. I just want to leave them with something. That's all. When that's it. Before we go to commercial break, once the music starts, we're going to come back with it. And I'm telling you, it is going to be a hot topic. I know he's not going to like it. And I know he's...
Whether you're trying to look good for that special someone, or you're Miss Independent, and you just want to look good for yourself, listen, you need to scratch where you've been going, because sensational is where you need to be. Where they specialize in shortcuts, weaves, sew-ins, and wraps, and so forth. At Sensational Beauty Salon, it's guaranteed that they'll have you looking. For an appointment, call 954-786-3997. That's 954-786-3997. Located at 801 South Dixie Highway, Suite 5 in Cypress. Commercial brought to you by Focus and Dirty V. If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport. Just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Fans at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
All right, Scout Florida fans, we're back here with you here on Scout Florida. Tony Sands and Kelsey Dudley here. We're going to get into a little bit more of the matchups here that we have in the second round of the Florida State playoffs here, high school playoffs. And one of the teams that we've talked about, we've kind of led into, our caller in Coach Bennett spoke about it, and this coach is up for the coach of the year for WQAM, and that's Roger Harriott with University High School. And University High School faces off against Miami Pace this Friday night.
That's going to be a good matchup of small schools. Here you got two private small institutions. That's going to pair off real good. Two teams. These are, you know what is so strange? They're the only undefeated matchup in the South playoff districts.
Wow. So we got two perfect teams here.
That's what the record states. We have two teams that are undefeated will pair off. It's going to be a good battle. I think, like I stated at one time, Roger already, he's already climbed one hill. When he got past the Pahokee game, I got a chance to watch him play against Chaminade. The team looks good. Now, they wasn't playing with their starting quarterback. They went with their backup quarterback, and they still was able to put up big numbers.
Right.
You know, University was playing with their backup quarterback, and they still put up big numbers. I see this game as being another test to where Roger states that, hey, I am ready for this state championship game. Bring it on, baby. Because now their road is not as long as the 6A and the 5A district.
No, it's a
they're in the regional finals.
One round shorter.
Yeah. They're in their regional final game. So this thing can get real. He win this one and buddy, look out.
You're close. You're knocking on the door.
He's one game away from his goal as a coach.
And for Miami Pace, Miami Pace has a potent attack on offense with their running back, Anthony Samuels, and also their quarterback, Ireton Cooper. And he's a good passer. They have a running game, and then they have a slash player in one of the top players down here in South Florida that a lot of schools are looking at in Jabari Gorman. And he is a two-way player. He's an all-everything player for Miami Pace, as a matter of fact. He plays special teams, offense, defense. He doesn't come off the field. So it will be key for University School to try to figure out a way to stop Jabari Gorman and to get their balanced attack going against Miami Pace. So two perfect schools matching up. It's going to be held at Miami Pace, so University has to travel down there. Does that kind of factor in here, Tony, or you don't think
I don't think this home field advantage will favor in Pace's favor. I think University understands what's at stake. They know what they want. They set this goal back in May when they started this spring game thing, and they started out preparing over the summer. These kids knew what they wanted. He's put together a great chemistry of guys that has one goal in mind, and that's December the 11th in Orlando. And that's all these kids talk about. They want to spend December the 11th around Mickey Mouse. So I'm telling you, they win this game, and then they move on to play the winner out of that northern bracket. So I don't see this being a problem. I see Rogers coming out of this, staying undefeated, and going ahead and furthering his goal toward the state champion.
And that's a good place for kids to want to go, right?
Oh, man, that facility is unbelievable.
Yeah, Disney World. So where do you want to go, Coach Harriott, after you win the state championship?
I want to go see Mickey Mouse. So I'm telling you, this guy's He's put together, like I said, he's one of the nominees for this award. He's put together a heck of a team. They're making a heck of a run. He's surrounding himself with good coaches, good quality coaches, and this thing is moving, man.
Okay, and just a couple more matchups of what we have here very quickly. Cypress Bay will be taking on North Miami Beach, where it will be held at Cypress Bay. North Miami Beach is coming in with a versatile offense, a good runner, good passer, athletic quarterback. Cypress Bay, well-controlled running game.
Scrappy little guy.
Scrappy team, tries to wait for mistakes and counter on mistakes. What do you feel about this game?
This is what I told you when we started this season out, and I told you about Coach Guandola. And I stated he is a heck of a coach.
Right, right.
I stated he's a heck of a coach that can put something together, you know, and he's done that. He's put together a heck of a team. These guys are young. His team is young, so it's going to be dangerous to see where this team will be at in another year. He got a bunch of young guys.
Yeah, because they're all young.
Yeah, and when you talk about it, man, you're making a run with this all this far with young guys. Imagine where it's going to be down the line. So I'm telling you, this team I see in this matchup, I'm going to go with this. I'm going to go out on them, and I'm going to take North Miami Beach in this one because I think this is where North Miami Beach say, you know what,
mm-hmm.
we're a little bit more experienced than you. We played a lot more tougher games, and this is where we make our game. I think the team is young. Cypress may have a chance to get back at this next year with their young team. So I'm going to run with with North Miami Beach on this one.
With North Miami Beach on this one. Okay. All right. I'm going to have to come back. I'm going to have to come back to that when we go.
Here we go again. Either you say, it's only two picks. You only have two teams. Either Cypress Bay or North Miami Beach. What more are you going to know in 10 minutes than you're going to know right now? Let's go.
You know how
make your pick.
It is.
Roll the dice.
Cypress Bay.
Make your pick. Roll your dice. Make your pick. People want to hear you make your pick.
God, that's a weird place to go. That Cypress Bay is a weird place to go. They're so scrappy out there.
Make your pick.
I figure if a young team is on a roll, where else rather would you be than to be at home as opposed to on the road? If this game was on the road, I would have to say North Miami Beach, definitely.
I'm going North Miami Beach. So you're saying Cypress Bay?
I'm
going
to go with Cypress Bay.
Okay, he's going with Cypress Bay.
I'm going with Cypress Bay.
I'm going with North Miami Beach.
Young team at home, know how to play. That place will be crowded all the way around the field.
Everybody comes out for this.
Yeah, for their games. Everybody, parking lot crowded. You got to park like a mile away. It will be a rocking atmosphere. So I'm going to go with Cypress Bay in that matchup.
So he takes Cypress Bay. I take North Miami Beach.
Yeah, yeah. I feel comfortable with that one. I feel comfortable with that one. Okay, in one more matchup that we really want to get to here, we have Miami Norland facing off against Berlin Jesuit.
Wow. That's going to be a good one.
That's a tough one. We got 10-1 Miami Norland. Only lost one game on the season. And that was to Miami Jackson.
Right.
And we have Berlin Jesuit coming off winning the state last season. They're trying to make a repeat run.
I think Norland's on a roll, and I'm going to pick Norland in this game. I'm going to take Norland in this game.
Norland has a great running back. They have
a
great running back.
Duke
Johnson.
The Duke Stir is going to carry them in this. I'm going to go with Norland.
You're going to go with Norland. Jeez.
You only have two teams to pick. It can't be that hard.
You know what? I got to stay with the flow and the pattern of how I think this second round is going to play out. I like the home teams in the second round.
Okay.
I like the home teams in the second round. So Berlin is at home.
So you're going with Berlin Jesuit.
With a controlled running game.
You go with Berlin.
I'm going with Berlin.
Okay. All right.
They keep it out of the Duke's hands.
We got it.
They're going to keep it away from the Duke, and I go with Berlin.
Okay, you got it. Hey, you hear it. He's made a statement. Now, before we leave, I told you I had some interesting things I want to tell you South Florida fans. You people don't understand. The Dolphins do it to you. The Heat do it to you now. They give you guys so much hope. And one thing about you guys are loyal to them. It's easy to fool you guys.
I take it you're not a South Florida fan.
No, not at all. Not at all. Not one bit. Oh. You guys
and
love
he lives
it.
Here. He lives here, fans. He lives here. I mean, a transplant. He lives here. Born and bred here.
But I'm not so sold on anything. These people sell you on anything down here. And it's the place when you say you can ride and you can get sea grapes on the highway. It makes you wonder. You can sell water. You can buy water at the stoplight. Never get out your car.
Uh-huh.
It makes me wonder. But you people down here in South Florida love to get mesmerized. They came down here with this rock style type environment. They bought these three guys in. They say, okay, now we got the big three. Come to find out, and I told you guys, the big three only resides in basketball in Celtics territory.
No.
You got to be kidding me. Now, you still sold on this?
The Heat are only one game back. They're one game back from the Celtics.
But
right?
Look at this.
With what they've been going through, they are one game back.
But should they be? With this powerhouse, with this dream team that you guys put together? Put together a dream team here. You had rock style. They came out all out, elevators coming up on the floor, fireworks exploding all over the place, and you tell me this is what you guys expected?
Well, we like to do it up big down here.
Is this what you expected to be?
Basketball perspective, and I'm going from the basketball.
Come on, man.
Perspective.
Come on.
They're not in a bad position right now. By South Florida perspective, they're in a bad position.
You guys were better off this time last year.
You had lesser talent. But they had played together for a year.
Come on. Hey, listen, man. You had lesser talent and you won more.
There was no
now you get more talent, you win less.
So you think that it'll end up that way. That team from
they
last
won't
year,
listen.
Right.
They won't even make it. Probably to see the Celtics. So I'm not even worried about that.
No. Well, we'll cross.
You won't make it to see the Celtics.
But right now, it's football.
Miami Heat fans that are listening, come on, man. Get off the bandwagon. You came because you want the dream team. You thought you had it. It don't happen. You would not make it to see the Celtics.
Right now, all the fans are worried about the Central and Northwestern.
No, they're not.
They're not worried about the Heat.
Right now, I'm firing you up. Right now, because I think you guys getting ready to play Orlando, or you playing Orlando?
Oh, we playing Orlando tonight. So after the show's over and we're off the set, then I'll be headed to a TV near you to see.
Here you go.
My boys do their thing.
Boy, but I tell you the truth.
It's early in the season. You know, basketball really takes effect in South Florida later on. Not right now. It's not
Okay. I'm gonna give you that. I know you don't want the insult. I'm gonna give you that. You know. But like I stated, and I will state it again, you guys stop being mesmerized. The Dolphins do it to you every year. They win about four or five games, and all of a sudden, flags come out all over the place. You guys think you're heading to the Super Bowl. Lo and behold, when the middle of the season get here you go. So now what you got? Here you go. You went off one high to another high. And you guys haven't felt enough to understand this cushion is going to hurt when you fall because you're going to fall. They're gonna do it to you here in Miami.
Boy,
no one's winning.
You are hoping. If it does not.
Every time we get off the air, you go home to a loss because they wind up playing on the same night and they lose.
That's true. They do. But they're playing Orlando. They're gonna win tonight. We already beat Orlando.
Okay.
But
what's gonna be your excuse then?
When they lose?
We're
not losing. Losing is not an option. They will get it together.
They better get it together.
There's
gonna be
some
head turning. You spent all this money.
Hey, if
you spent all this money,
got to come out of the top box,
Then you guys are in trouble. If that happens, you guys know at that point you are in trouble.
No, we're not in trouble.
You got to be kidding me.
No, we're not in trouble. Come on, man. It's happened before.
You got to see this.
It's just history repeating itself. That's all.
And now your bench is hurt. You have hurt one of your. You're one of your most important guys.
Yeah, we're banged up.
So now you're saying you put a banged up team with no chemistry And that's a recipe for success?
Nope. But when you're
that's a recipe for disaster.
No, when you're backed up against a wall, what do you do?
But if you're back,
come out swing.
But if you must have some arms to swing with. You guys don't have
three
arms to swing with.
We got three arms.
And they haven't been moving.
They haven't been moving. But
you're banged up as far as your bench go. Your bench gave you the other night only, what, 6 points? How can you have a bench to give you 6 points? And I told you that. Well, that's where your downfall is going to be because you don't have a strong enough bench. I told you this.
South Florida fans, we are one back of the Celtics, and we have him over here. He's worried. He's worried. Oh, yeah, he's worried.
You're one back of the Celtics, but we beat you both times.
But we're all right.
But we beat you both times.
We will see you.
We beat you both times. Like I say, a recipe, when you're making a cake, you must have eggs and everything. You guys have a recipe for a disaster.
When we come back next week on the show, I don't think you're going to be saying the same thing. But we will see you, Tony. We will see the Celtics in the playoffs.
Music,
in the playoffs.
Music, take us away. Take us away. Take us away. Because the heat is gone away.
See you
gone
next week,
away.
South Florida fans.
Ain't no heat.
Niggas down here, act dumb and watch me school a nigga down here. I'm still the same nigga.